Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily entangles us. Run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who, in view of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'll repeat it. Let us also, therefore, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, laying aside every weight and sin which easily entangles us, run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking steadfastly on Jesus, the leader and completer of faith, who in view of the joy lying before him endured the cross, having despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have been sharing together on this most fundamental and vital matter of the cross. We find that the cross is more than a historical fact. We find that there is a message coming forth from that cross. And that message is very comprehensive. We only touch a little bit of what its message is, and how we need to receive the word of the cross with faith, and also with obedience. We should also share a little bit on this matter of the way of the cross. The cross is not only just a single act, but we find that there is a way called the way of the cross. And the Lord is calling us to follow him in that way. And again, we share together on this matter of the spirit of the cross. The cross is not just something that we listen to, or something, some dealings that we receive, but the cross is a mold, and God desires to cast us into that mold, that we may be a people of the cross with the spirit of the Lamb. Now this morning, in our concluding time, we would like to talk about this matter of the glory of the cross. You know, brothers and sisters, oftentimes when we mention the word cross, we are afraid. We know that the cross means death, and we do not want to die. But brothers and sisters, we have to know that there is another side, the glory of the cross. Think of our Lord Jesus. There in Hebrews chapter 12, we are told, for the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross. The reason why our Lord Jesus is able to endure the cross, and what a cross it is. It is because he has that joy that sets before him. And then we find, after he has endured the cross, despising the shame, and God has set him at the right hand of the throne. Dr. Mabee said, in the thought of Scripture, the reconciling death and resurrection have always been taken together. They are inseparable parts of a real unity, twin parts of one fact. In other words, when you talk about the cross, we have to remember that death and resurrection are joined together in that cross. They are twin parts of one fact. In teaching any experience of the cross, we have to strike that balance. If we overemphasize the death aspect of the cross and neglecting the life aspect of the cross, the teaching will become very heavy, dark, gloomy, oppressive, negative. Or if we overemphasize the life aspect of the cross and neglecting the death side of it, you'll find we become very superficial in our teaching. Because without death, there can be no resurrection. So far as our Christian experience goes, it is the same. Some people stress so much on the death side. Dead to sin. Dead to the world. Dead to self. Dead to everything. And because they somehow dwell so much on the death side, they are dead. There is no life, no livingness, no freshness. It's all inactivity, passivity, paralyzed. This is no Christian life. But on the other hand, we find there are people who stress so much on the life side, they try to avoid everything on the death side because they think that is very unpleasant. And the result is, what they consider as spiritual life, as life, actually is a pretension, a falsehood, a substitute. They substitute their natural life for spiritual life, because they do not know death. Brother Sparks mentioned this. He said, of course, it is understood that the phrase the cross does not merely mean crucifixion of Christ, but the death, the burial, the resurrection, and ascension to the throne, and the sovereign relationship rested now in Christ there for us. All is by way of the cross. We never see the throne apart from the Lamb in the midst thereof, as though it had been slain. Everything is gathered up in the phrase, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when the cross is mentioned, Christ crucified has all that, with all that that implies, is met. So, brothers and sisters, when we are talking about the cross, we have to remember that it doesn't mean only the death side. We need the death side. But whenever we talk about the cross, we have to remember there is the resurrection side. Death and life. Calvary and resurrection. You cannot separate them, because this is what the cross really is. We thank the Lord that our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was buried, but on the third day He was raised from the dead. You remember the apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain, and we are still in sin. But thank God, we find that our Lord Jesus has not only died for us, buried for us, but He was raised from the dead for us. He was the first fruit raised, and in Him we are all made alive. Life out of death. Brothers and sisters, we have to remember that the life that we originally had, the life that we received from our parents, from our forefathers, that Adamic life has been poisoned. It has been poisoned, corrupted, sinful, selfish, cannot be reformed or improved. And that life deserves nothing but death. But there is a life. A life that can go into death and come out of death. And this is the life that our Lord Jesus has offered to us. What is life? We need to know what life really is. This soul life of ours is no life at all. Because this natural life, one day, will die. There is not only the first death, but there is the second death, eternal death. And that is the reason why our Lord Jesus, He came into this world to be a man. And there He went into death in order to rob the one who has the power of death, in order to bring death to death. Everybody that goes into death will never be able to come out. But here we find our Lord Jesus, the very source of life. He is able to enter into death, rob death of his power, destroy death, and He comes out of death. And in coming out, He gave His life to those who believe in Him. The cross is the place where life is released. The cross is the place where death happened. But it is dead to the old life. It is life to the new life. So in Romans chapter 6, we are told, we have been, maybe we read from verse 3, are you ignorant that we, as many as have been baptized unto Christ Jesus, having baptized unto His death, we have been buried therefore with Him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we are become identified with Him in the likeness of His death, so also we shall be of His resurrection. When we were baptized, Did we not go into the water? And as we went into the water, it is to be identified with the likeness of the death of our Lord Jesus. His death is an all-inclusive death. Because in His death, sin, the world, the enemy, self, Adam, all these were put to death. His death is an all-inclusive death. And when we are baptized, we, in stepping into the water, we become identified with the likeness of His death. Then when we are underneath the water, we are buried with him. And when we come out of the water, we become identified with the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, when we are baptized by acting out our faith, we believe that we were dead in Christ and with him. We believe that we were buried with him. And we believe that we have been raised with him. So we act out our faith by baptism. It tells us that if we are identified with his death and die to sin and die to the world and die to our Adamic life, our selfhood, then, brothers and sisters, by faith, we know that we are also identified with him in his resurrection. Now we live unto God. And by this new life, we can walk in the newness of life. And we can serve God in newness. This is most basic and most important. Brothers and sisters, it is very sad that many of God's people still do not see this. In other words, they believe in the Lord Jesus. They know their sins are forgiven. And yet somehow they try to live their Christian life by the old life in them. And because of that you find there is no life at all. The more you try to be like a Christian, the less you become a Christian. You find it is a total failure. Why? Because there is no one that can live a Christian life but the life of Christ. And thank God, because on the cross he has released that life. We have that life in us. And all we need to do is to let that life be set free. You know, oftentimes, it is not because we do not have that resurrection life in us, but because it is bound up, locked up by our old life. That is why death is so important. We need to see the death side of the cross. The reason for that is not negative. It is positive because it is to release the resurrection life in us. The cross is the secret of transformation. There on the cross, we find God is doing the work of transforming us. It is almost like a caterpillar. You know, we see an ugly caterpillar crawling there. And yet you find somehow there is a metamorphosis. And when that process is completed, out comes a beautiful butterfly. It is no longer earthbound. It is heavenbound. And brothers and sisters, this is what the cross is doing for us. The cross is to put to death that ugly caterpillar, as it were, our soul life. And to transform us into that beautiful butterfly in resurrection life that goes heavenward. We think of Jacob, how through the dealing of the cross in his life, now, no doubt about that, Jacob, he suffered a great deal because of what he was. But thank God through all the sufferings, it's the cross that has been upon his life. God is able to transform him from Jacob to Israel. And do you know, God is doing the same thing with us. How we need the cross to daily put us to death, that daily Christ may be released in us. So that is the glory of the cross. Furthermore, we find the glory of the cross in fruitfulness. Our Lord Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you may go and bear much fruit." If we bear fruit, we will be his disciples, and we will glorify the Father. But how can we bear fruit? We have already mentioned that verse in John chapter 12, verse 24. The Lord said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone." In other words, it will not bear fruit. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. So, the cross, the glory of the cross, is in fruitfulness. Dr. Andrew Murray once said, "No one knows what fruit is until he has learned to die to all that is merely human." I do not know if you agree with him. You may think, surely we can bear fruit. Surely we can do a lot for God. But here there is a statement which is so true, spiritually true. And that statement is, again, I'll repeat it, no one knows what fruit is until he has learned to die to all that is merely human. What is fruit? Fruit is the result of abundant life. Fruit is effortless. When a tree is bearing fruit, he is not even conscious that he is bearing fruit. It is because there is such an abundance of life within that it produces fruit. Oftentimes we can see an artificial tree, maybe an orange tree, and you'll find oranges on that artificial tree. But these are tied to the trees. And brothers and sisters, that is what we have been doing. We substitute fruit with work. When you are doing something, of course you are conscious. Of course you have put in lots of effort to it. And of course, if there is some result, not only you want people to appreciate it, you are the first one who appreciates it. You are full of self-consciousness. But that's work. That's something that we do by ourselves, with our cleverness, with our plans, with our willpower, with our natural energy. These are not fruits. These are imitation. They may look good in this world, but they do not satisfy the hungry heart. Neither God nor man. And here's something written by Gordon Watts. I'll quote him again. He said how difficult it is to die to dependence on our own intellect. or to pride in our abilities, or to our reputation, or to our natural desire for success, or to self-made plans. But fruit comes when we are willing that all these should go to the cross. While Christ becomes everything, and we depend entirely on the Holy Spirit for every word we speak, every work we do, and every path of life we take. Brothers and sisters, it is very hard to die to our dependence on our own intellect. It is very hard to die to our pride in our abilities. We think we are able. It is very difficult to die to our reputation. We want to make a reputation and to keep it. And it is very difficult to die to the desire for success. We all want success. We want to produce something that will glorify us. It is very difficult to die to our plans. We have all our plans laid out, even in so-called service to God. But brothers and sisters, unless we are willing to come to death, to die to all these, remember, we can produce no fruit. Because the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the abundant life of Christ. And it is only the Holy Spirit that is able to release that abundant life and produce fruit. That will be a pleasure to God and to man. Brothers and sisters, if you are bearing fruit, you don't need to make a great noise. You do not need to sound a trumpet. Quietly, silently, the fruit is there. The glory of the cross is fruit-bearing. The more we know the cross, the more fruit will come forth. Not only that, the glory of the cross is ministry. We all want ministry. We want to serve. We want to be useful to God. And I believe that this is right. Because we are saved to serve. But what is true ministry? How does spiritual ministry come into being? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe we are familiar with these words. And here you find Apostle Paul is talking about ministry, heading this ministry. And he says, we do not preach ourselves but Jesus Christ Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. Because it is the God who spoke that out of darkness light should shine, who has shone in our hearts for the shining forth of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are all earthen vessels. But, you know, we all think we are alabaster flesh. But actually, we are earthen vessels. Nothing. But thank God, and only God will do that, because man will never put a precious treasure in an earthen vessel. Only God will put a treasure in an earthen vessel. And the treasure, of course, is our Lord Jesus. There is none else. Thank God there is a treasure in the earthen vessel. There is that brilliancy, radiancy, that glory of life within us. But we are earthen vessels, opaque. So you find that we, in a sense, we shut in prison the brilliancy, the light of the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ within us. And for us to minister Christ to people, this earthen vessel has to be broken. Oftentimes, we minister by the power of the earthen vessel. Some earthen vessels are quite ornate, as our brother mentioned about that seed. We have our cleverness. We have our dynamic personality. We have that will. We are full of energy. And we are full of thoughts. And we try to minister by these things. With our clever mind, we analyze the Bible. With our eloquence, we try to persuade people. With our dynamic personality, we overwhelm people. But brothers and sisters, is this ministry? Ministry is the imparting of Christ. It is to minister Christ to people. And such ministry is only possible through the cross. Because it is the cross that breaks the earthen vessel. So Paul mentioned how in every way afflicted but not straitened. He was literally surrounded as if there's no way to go. But there's also always a way up. Seeing no apparent issue, but our way not entirely shut up. I like Phillips' translation. It is not a literal translation. And he said, we are at our wit's end, but not at our life's end. And how often this happened? Persecuted but not abandoned. Cast down but not destroyed. And Philip said, knocked down but not knocked out. And brothers and sisters, this is the experience of the ministers of God's word. Unless you have gone through this breaking of the outward man, the life, the brilliancy, the radiancy of Christ Jesus within you is just imprisoned. There's only one way, that through the cracking and the breaking of the earthen vessel, that is our soul life, the spirit life is released. And that is ministry. So the Apostle Paul said, I bear in my body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be in you. Without the cross, there is no ministry. Unfortunately, we have today so much ministry without the cross. So-called ministry without the cross. May the Lord help us that the glory of the cross is ministry. If you have to go through the cross in order that you may minister to your brothers and sisters, are you willing to go through? It's worth it. The glory of the cross is the throne. Think of our Lord Jesus, how he walked the way of the cross. He emptied himself. He took the form of a slave, even the fashion of a man, and being in the likeness of man, he humbled himself. And he went into death, even the death of the cross. But God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every name. And to that name, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. In other words, the cross is the way to the throne. And if this is true with our Lord Jesus, it is true with us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we are told, if we endure with him, we shall reign with him. There is no other way. If today we try to escape the cross, you know, the cross is something that you can escape. And that is the reason why the Lord said, take up your cross. In other words, if you decide not to take it up, you're able to do that. But today, if you do not deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord, you may gain your life today. That is your soul life, satisfaction, fulfillment, for a time. But you will lose it. You will lose the throne. And what God has destined for us is the throne. Not only that, the glory of the cross is the church. The glory of the cross is the church. You remember our Lord Jesus? He said, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And immediately following it, he told his disciples how he had to go to Jerusalem and to die. But on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. In other words, for the church to come into being, Christ has to go to the cross. There on the cross, when that soldier thrust a spear into his side and draw out from his side blood and water. And John testified and said, I saw it, and when what I saw was real, was true. And he repeated it. Why? It is not because just for this physical phenomenon. It is because there is that reality there. Out of the side of our Lord Jesus, out of the pierced side of our Lord Jesus, comes out blood and water. And with this, he built his church. Just like God put Adam to sleep and opened his side, and took out something. And with that something, or a rib, God built a woman. Brothers and sisters, Adam's sleep is a painless sleep because that was before sin entered into the world. But the sleep of our Lord Jesus on the cross is most painful. It is because of sin. But out of his side, blood to atone our sins, and water as life, to give us life, that we may have life. And with that life, we will be built up together into his church. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5, it is said, he loved the church, gave himself for her. He sanctified it, purifying it, washing it by the water with the word, that he may present to himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any of such sort, holy and without blemish. Brothers and sisters, not only he used his blood and his life to build the church, but you find continuously he is purifying the church with the water by the word. In other words, he used his word and his life working together to sanctify the church, to make the church a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, suitable for himself. Brothers and sisters, the church is found on the foundation of the cross of Christ. And the church is even today being built by the cross. If we as living stones do not accept the cross in our lives, we will not fit in with one another. We all have our corners. Our strength is that corner that needs to be knocked off. But are we willing to be sawed, chiseled, smoothed, reduced? If not, no stone will fit with another stone. When the temple of Solomon was built, it was said that there was no sound of iron. Why? Because all these stones were cut, chiseled, smooth, according to measure, according to plan. Every stone was cut to fit with one another. And every stone had a number on it. So all they need to do is they will transport the stone to Mount Moriah, and there they just put one on another without the sound of iron. It's all done. Done in secret, in darkness, in the quarry. Brothers and sisters, if we do not allow the cross to work in our lives, knock off our corners, what will happen? When in the open we try to build up one another, what happens? Lots of sound of iron. And that's what's happening. We rub against each other. We stick against each other. Lots of fire. Lots of noise. Why? It is because in secret we fail to accept the working of the cross in our lives. Brothers and sisters, God has called us to be a habitation, as our brother mentioned, for him. We are to be built up together. You are not called to be a monument, standing by yourself. You are called to be a stone fitting with another stone. And in order to be fit, you have to be cut. Probably what you consider as your strength, as your beauty, is the very thing that needs to be knocked off. Now, are you willing to do that? For the sake of the building of God's house, brothers and sisters, the cross is the only way. There is no other way. But when the cross has done its work, oh, what a beautiful, glorious temple of God is built. The cross gives us the church. So we often said, if you preach the church, you get the cross. If you preach the cross, you get the church. If we talk too much about the church, you get the cross. Because that is the way that the church is to be built. Let us talk about the cross, and the church will come out. And finally, the glory of the cross is the accomplishment of the eternal purpose of God. We mentioned at the very beginning that this universe has two aspects. If you look at the aspect of the eternal purpose of God, it is centered upon the person of our Lord Jesus. But if you look at the incursion of sin and its effects, then the universe is redemptocentric. But we also say that the cross is God's means to God's end. What is God's end? What is His eternal purpose? His eternal purpose is that His Son may have the first place in all things. His eternal purpose is to sum up all things in Christ Jesus. His eternal purpose is that Christ may be all and in all. That is God's eternal purpose. But how can that eternal purpose be fulfilled? It can only be fulfilled by the way of the cross. The cross is the only means to God's eternal end. And brothers and sisters, by the working of the cross of our Lord Jesus, and we take up our cross and follow Him, what is the result? The result is all that is not of Christ will be taken away, and all that is of Christ will be established. Until one day, as our brother mentioned last night, we will see the holy city, New Jerusalem. God said, it is done. I have made all things new. All things have all passed away. Sin, the world, natural life, self, the enemy, power of darkness, all these things have passed away. The old creation has passed away. And all is new creation. It is new creation in Christ Jesus. God's end is reached through God's means. Christ becomes all and in all after the cross has done its work. So may the Lord help us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we worship Thee. We worship Thee because the word of the cross to those who perish is foolishness, but to us who believe, who are saved, it is the power of God. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee for the cross of Christ Jesus. We embrace it. We love it. We are willing to take up our cross and follow Thee. That Thy purpose concerning Thy beloved Son might be fulfilled. That Thou will have a bride for Thy beloved Son to His glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus.